You can't live the Christian life by yourself. Even the Lone Ranger had a buddy. Jesus founded a community, people with whom to share the Christian faith and the Christian life. One place to find it is in the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway, Escondido. Sunday services 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. 760-745-1679. 760-745-1679. On the web, eurc.org. Don't be a Lone Ranger. Proclaiming the good news to a needy world. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Great is the problem of apostasy in the Christian church. Today we come to a passage on Abounding Grace Radio, 1 Timothy chapter 4, where the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Paul gives the corrective of what Christian ministry should be with godly men to fight that great reality that is happening today in the church. We are living in apostate times. And today, I'm hoping on Abounding Grace Radio, we appreciate what God has put in place to be a blessing to God's people so that they would be saved and on that day stand before the throne faultless. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we invite you to go to the website at agradio.org. agradio.org. Download the podcast. We'd love to hear from you. Please write to us. If you go to that website, there's a way to support us. If these messages are a blessing to you, it helps us to take the gospel out to the ends of the earth so that people would know Jesus Christ. What a great way to do that today. Also, we want to invite you, if you'd like to call us at 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805, or find us on Facebook. Many ways to connect with Abounding Grace Radio. We've gone to a lot of work to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you so that it would be a blessing in your life. So here is that message now from 1 Timothy chapter 4. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 4, calling for pastors in apostate times. This is part two of the message that we aired yesterday, and we hope it's a blessing to you.
Concerned, the Holy Spirit was really concerned to give us a window back and to pull back the curtain so that we look behind the scenes of Christian ministry, so that we are very careful about who we put into Christian leadership positions. And it should have the effect tonight as we walk out of saying, whoa, I need to take this a lot more seriously. In a sense, what we have is what follows is the Spirit giving us a look into Satan's officers so that we would understand how exemplary God's officers must be. He says two notable things about them, two notable ways to spot them, two things that stand out about them. In verse 2, he says, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. In their insincerity, they're speaking lies. I don't like to use Greek words. I think it's a bad practice, but I want you to hear this one. Hypocrisis, hypocrite. That was a loaded word in the first century. If you looked at what they understood about that, Paul would tell the Romans to let your love be without hypocrisy, without masks. In the first century, the hypocrite was the actor. He put on the mask. He was known by that. You had amazing actors in the ministry. Do actors sound good? Do actors look good? Do they have great speaking ability? Sure, actors do well. Do actors dazzle and woo? Do actors find themselves exhilarating in winning people and holding them? They find that exhilarating? Of course they do. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 11. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no surprise if his servants, his ministers, disguise themselves as ministers of righteousness. Satan has a kingdom. Satan has demons working for him. Satan has pastors working for him who are great disguisers. Boy, the Spirit says, I need you to listen to this. I need you to listen to this. I need you to take this really seriously. What do they do first? They're not after the truth. Insincerity means they're after their own glory. So they speak, and they're after the accolades of men. They want the applause of men. That's the goal in the ministry. How do you spot it? You say, well, that's always troubled me, because how do you see through a mask? How do you see through a mask? Well, Paul gives you, I think, the clearest way in the New Testament to identify a false teacher. The Spirit says their consciences are seared. What a revealing statement. Their consciences are burned with a red-hot iron. Their consciences are cauterized, likely a reference to a branding that slaves had to receive ownership, to have ownership. You know, that happened in the first century. It's when the conscience is cauterized, what has happened? If a conscience is cauterized in the ministry, how are you going to see that? No care about dealing with sin. Sin. Sin is out. We don't talk about that. And thus, you have a ministry that never deals with confronting people in their sin, never deals with norms that God put in the Bible that need to be expressly preached, never deals with the effects and consequences of sin in people's lives. We just sung out, comfort, comfort my people. Why do they need comforted? Sin. Which in turn leads to a totally ineffective gospel ministry. How could you ever provide the answer if you won't diagnose the problem? And so the gospel won't ever animate somebody like that because they failed anymore to diagnose real problems in people's lives. That's a cauterized conscience. The gospel doesn't drive them, because God's cure in the gospel only has meaning when the disease is properly dealt with. And it's going to be some serious confrontation at times from this pulpit if we're doing our job. So when the conscience is seared, what does the ministry look like? That's the question. Well, I think you get it. Spirit says, here's how you can spot a false teacher. Look at the agendas of his ministry. Look at the agendas of his ministry. If he's not confronting sin, if he refuses to do that and he wants to be a people pleaser, he's not getting to the remedy, but strangely enough, he's imposing other things and practices that have the intent in bringing people back into bondage and strange holds on them. You don't have to look very far to see that. If we are to minister the gospel, if we are to first confront sin and minister the gospel, if you have a cauterized conscience, that will not be the drive of the ministry. Paul says what will actually happen is all sorts of wacky agendas in the man's life. Just follow this. When you read it, you're like, oh man, that's just weird stuff. Abstaining from marriage and abstaining from foods, you know, and you stop and you say, yeah, that's what a cauterized conscience ends up doing. They find everything else under the sun that is not the ministry of reconciliation. Look at the side trails. Look at the controversial side trails. Look at all the strange ideas. Look at the strange holds on people. Look at the strange doctrines that are preached with such charisma and authority, which ultimately leads, which is what this is here, to a strange asceticism, or in many cases in the New Testament, antinomianism, anti-law. None of it is the ministry God put in place. That's not that hard to spot. It's not that hard to spot. Is the ministry of the gospel in confronting sin there or not? Or is it a bunch of side agendas and entertainment? If that's what it is, Paul's saying you've got to be willing to understand this is what's going on. The Spirit expressly tells you that. You guys know God created marriage to be a blessing. You guys know God gave you foods to be a blessing. You know that when you thank God for them, they're sanctified by the word of God in prayer. But the Spirit wants you to get this. In America, we need a fresh reorientation to what is really happening behind the ministry of Satan's ministry. And what is being done is on a battlefield. An intense spiritual warfare for souls is taking place, and there are casualties. There are people who are being pulled away. There are people who are being led astray. The Spirit wants you to know that. And Paul is helping us to appreciate what we're fighting for. That's the point of this. Paul is helping us to understand what we're fighting for. If that is going on, do you see why we need men who will give themselves in sincerity and love for God's people? With clear consciences to win people? The world is full of counterfeit religions. We have a narrow gospel. Narrow. Jesus called it narrow, a narrow way. We think of all the other philosophies of religions are rather harmless. That's not what Paul's saying. Buddhism, Islam, Hinduism, all of these, atheism, they're not just wrong religions. They are backed and propagated, Paul says, by demons. And people are being influenced by this stuff. That'd be nice if we can keep this out of the Christian community. We could tuck away. We could have our homesteads. We could have our Christian schools and keep it safe. Paul and the Spirit is expressly saying, it's happening and rising up from among you. Satan came into the garden to ask one question of Eve. Did God really say? And that question rings through all the time. Now interject weak men who are not called or who want glory for themselves. See how dangerous it is? If we don't have men who are sincere and care a lot about the truth, and what is most important, if we're not giving ourselves to think about qualifications, and specifically tonight, pastors, how will they be effective in fighting that? Personally, I want to encourage men, young men here, to go into the ministry. And I will always do that. I prayed tonight that the Lord would send. But I also believe there needs to be an incredible amount of godly fear that needs to be recovered today of going into this. We've made it pretty easy. I'm concerned that the checks and balances are good in our reformed world with doctrine, but not godliness. Everyone gets so excited when someone says they want to go to seminary, and mom and dad are excited, and the money flows. Is the man called? I want to tell you a story to give you some perspective on this. I was working on this sermon this past week. And I had a dear brother call me and say, Pastor, I want to meet with you. And I'm always amazed in my daily routines and business that whenever I stop and do something like that, the Lord hands me something. Well, I went to lunch with this dear brother, and we're sitting there at lunch, and he pulls out a folder. And so I opened the folder. He says, look at it. And in the folder was an MDiv degree. An MDiv degree. I said, I had no idea. That is absolutely wonderful. He said, no, it's not. I want you to understand something. Since you work with seminary students, I had real speaking ability. I was a good speaker, received awards for my speaking abilities. A respectable man heard me, pulled me aside and says, I know what you need to do with your life. You need to go into the ministry. You need to go to seminary. Why not? He thought. So I went. Hung out with my buddies. It was just a blast. I pastored a Reformed church from 1954 to 1961. Let me tell you something. I was a fraud. I stood back and I said, you sure? I practiced, he said, convincing myself I was called to this. And yet inwardly, the turmoil was so strong, I knew I wasn't. I wasn't living it. He said, I resonated with Rosaria Butterfield's story, actually, when I read her book, that she said before she came out, she was constantly feeling the pressure to reinvent herself because it was all an act. He said, would you go look at Rosaria's chapter and page 52? So I did. This is what was there. I usually don't do this, but I want to do it tonight. I once asked R, this was a man who she knew from the past, if he thought seminary was harmful to him. I asked him why he felt called in the first place. This pastor goes on to pray, Matthew 9, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest? He said, that's why I'm here. I felt that prayer was for me. I asked him to clarify what he meant. I wondered if R felt that Pastor Ken was directing that prayer to him or that the Holy Spirit was speaking to him through Pastor Ken's prayer. I asked because it seemed to me there were two different calls, one directed by man and another directed by God himself. He thought about it and then told me he wasn't really sure which call it was after all. In recent years, I've contemplated this statement, thinking about the difference between the call of God on the one hand as revealed through the Holy Spirit's work on our conscience and the call or influence of other people whom we deem powerful and important on the other hand, what Sigmund Freud would call the power of the superego. I thought about this in the context of church work, about how easy it is for the church to unintentionally manipulate people, and think about office of elder and deacon too. According to Freud, the superego is part of the conscience that deeply feels and responds to the expectations that other people and institutions place upon us. The superego is our receptor site for people-pleasing. Even as a believer, it is easy to become people-pleasing instead of God-pleasing. I thought that was fascinating, that it could be the pleasing of our egos that we go into this, instead of a genuine, clear conscience confirmed externally by the church as they witnessed those gifts. He said, when I left and they gave me an honorable sort of discharge, I was set free and I could be honest with myself. I said to him, that's hard. I said, what do you tell a man aspiring to the office to be a pastor who is walking your path? What do you say? He said, appeal to their conscience. I never had a clear conscience, even though I suppressed it. God calls us to have a clear conscience. And that got me. Because back in verse 9, what did Paul say about deacons? They must hold the mystery of faith with a clear conscience that runs through. The conscience has to be absolutely clear that you're called to this. Paul says this all throughout the New Testament. Hebrews 13, pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience. Now, all that to say, if the Spirit warns and the Satan interjects men with seared consciences, see the connection? We need men with the best clear consciences in this work. Clear consciences. Not insincerity in wearing masks. If you're not willing to die for this, don't get in it. So in verse 6, Paul says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? What he's saying here is leaders have to take very seriously what the Spirit just told you. And the church needs to take very seriously what the Spirit just told you. You've got to tell people this is ministry. They need to understand this about the ministry, and you need to understand what this is all about, because we don't take it very seriously. I remember in one of my internships years ago, I remember doing a bunch of church visits, and I remember sweet couple from Holland. We went over to their house. I'll never forget, right in front of me and his wife, he proceeds to deny that he's a sinner. And I thought, you're in the Reformed Church? You can't say that. And I had to confront him and say, listen, that is a doctrine of a demon. I probably didn't say it like that, but I warned him about the consequence of his view. I went back to the elders and told the elders, and they, you know, these were the people in the church who had always been there. They were the folk of the church. They were the people. And the elders did nothing. I told you I have to raise the bar high on this. This is what I experienced. The Spirit says you're battling for souls. The Spirit says you're going after people. God's office bearers need to demonstrate that they love people, that they're sincere. Watch your life, he says. You got to be an example to the flock. Have nothing to do with silly myths. Have nothing to do with worldly fables. there were all these apocryphal writings and Jewish fables. And all he's saying there is, you've got to stay focused. You've got to stay the course. Listen, it's that kind of stuff that's led the false teachers astray. You stay with the gospel, the simplicity of the gospel. Don't get caught up and sidetracked with stupid things. In the history of the church, had we listened to that, much more penetrating gospel ministries would have prevailed. Stay focused. He says, watch your life. Exercise yourselves toward godliness, for bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life that is now and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. They understood that. There was the Greek gymnasium, and they had all the concern about the body like we do today, and the youth would work for the games, and they would exercise their bodies. And Paul says to Timothy, you give yourself, just like you know they train their bodies for that, you give yourself to complete dedication to God. Just as they exert their bodies for that, you exert your life to godliness. Give yourself for a different goal and a different prize. Give yourself to the same energy to train your spiritual advancement. This is why Paul would say, I discipline my body to bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. And if you want help from that, you can go back and look at the qualifications we went through. It's how you discipline. He goes on in verse 12 and says, be an example in speech. Stop gossiping. In conduct. Have discipline and behavior with alcohol, with money, in love, in faith, in purity, sexual purity. All of this, Paul was so concerned about character. Remember, these qualifications are loaded with character. Very few speak of ability. Second, he says, watch your doctrine. Timothy, you've got to be nourished. You got to be reared up on the words of faith, the good doctrine that you've carefully followed. You've got to continue to grow in that. You've got to continue to love that. You've got to continue to be fed by that. You've got to continue to advance in that. You're the model. You've received that. Many of pastors, just like Timothy, received it from their grandmother Lois and their mother Eunice. I mean, they've had godly influences in their lives. You got to grow in the Word. Love the Word. Isn't it something he tells Timothy, devote yourself to the reading? They would have reading services where they just came and listened. We don't do that. There was public reading. But the one thing I want to say is the servant of Christ, elder, deacon, pastor, has to love reading the scriptures. Don't neglect that gift. Keep teaching them, pastor. Your job is just to keep your head in the book and keep teaching them. Devote yourself to it. Explain the word and show how that great story of the gospel is unfolded everywhere. That's what Paul said. Woe is me if I don't preach that gospel. When a man is, you know this, when you're teaching something, when you're growing in the word, you are excited to tell somebody else about that. And if you're stale and stagnant, don't expect the people to be very excited about what you're saying. The effectiveness of the leader is bound up with his love for the truth of God's word. The effectiveness of the leader, the Christian leader, is bound up with the truth, the love for the truth of God's word. It's the center of the church and of our lives. We have a pulpit with the word on it for a reason. And we don't set aside the pulpit. In verse 15, he says, let your progress be evident to all. Give yourselves to this. That's how you'll strengthen. Verse 10, that's the end for which we are laboring. Why? We labor and suffer reproach. We go through all of this because we trust in the living God, who's the Savior of all men, especially those who believe. And verse 16, persevere in it, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. That's what's at stake tonight. We're laboring to pull people out of the fire. We're laboring to turn sinners from death to life. We're laboring with an aim and a goal of conversion, so that on that day, we know that these brothers and sisters will stand there covered by the blood of the Lamb, faultless before the throne of God, a multitude no man can number. It's an amazing thing God takes sinful men and places them to be his voice to the people, that through the exclusive, powerful message of Christ and him crucified, people are brought from darkness into life. You believe that? So don't be bashful then if God has called you to this. Step forward. Step forward. If God has given you a clear conscience, this brother who came to me The Lord worked on that conscience and didn't let him stay. And that church honorably let him go. But he wanted everyone to know, especially since we're in a country of so many pastors, you've got to have a clear conscience in this. And I am so affected by that, because that's all over the scriptures, and the Lord knows that with a clear conscience, we will minister with hearts that love God's people. The sheep need Christ. They need to know his love. And we need to know that the battle ultimately in their salvation belongs to him. If Christ loved these sheep so much that he died for them, let all who serve as under shepherds of the true shepherd, the good shepherd, faithfully represent him. Amen. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you instruct us in these things and show us what is at stake. There's a lot going on that we don't take very seriously. And we are so grateful to you that you raise up faithful under shepherds of Christ. Pray that any who have that clear conscience, that you would move them to serve, convince them in their hearts, and may the church recognize that, that they might serve well to the glory of your name and the care of your people. And preserve your church from all those who would get in this, who should not be in it, who are after their own name, their own glory, and who are nothing more but actors. And may, O Lord, your church be built strong in this place and all over the world today with men of God, servants who love Christ and his people. And where we fail, where we sin, which we will, forgive us, help us, strengthen us, and may our reliance deeply be upon you as we look to your word for our food and strength. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in his abounding grace. Static, noise, that's all we hear, or so it seems. Where would you go? What would you pay to hear the truth? Good news, it's free and nearby. The Bible is God's truth. At the Escondido United Reformed Church, Chris Gordon preaches Christ the truth from God's Word every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway, 760-745-1679, EURC.org.